Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Texts 17 and 18, The Son of Jonah Punished. So I'll read verse 17 and then we'll chant 18 together. Iti priyam vaga vichitta japai sasanta diyachitamitta sutta anvartavattam shitokatanva kapita jagura putram ratena. Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statements. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons, and getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher. So verse 18, we'll recite together. Tam apatantam savilakshaturat. Kumara hovit namana ratena.
Kumara hovit namana ratena.
Parajava prana pradipsurfyam. Yavot gamam ruttapayad yataka. Chan. Tam apatantam savilakshatura maraho vignamana ratena avatam isurham apachantam savilakshatura apachantam savilakshaturat ladies. Patanta Savilakshatura Maraho Vignamana Ratena Haradava Prana Purishukam. Chama patancham savira chakura. Hara vignamana ratena. Rarava prana pradipsurfya. Apachantam savira shatura. Parajava praparipsurvyam. Tava Kamamruta Vayata Tam Kim Apatantam. Coming over furiously. Sa He Iraksha. Seeing Jarat. From a distance. Kumaraha. The murder of the princes. Uviknamaha. Disturbed in mind. Ratena. On the chariot. Pradipat. Fled. Prana. Life. Paripsu. For protecting. Urvyam. With great speed. Yavatkamam. As he fled. Rujapayat. By fear of Shiva. Yata. As. Ka. Brahma. Or Arka Surya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Ashwatthama. The murder of the princes. Seeing. From a great distance, Arjuna, coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken just to save his life, as Brahma fled in fear from Shiva. Report. According to the reading matter, either Ka or Arka, there are two references in the Puranas. Ka means Brahma, who once became allured by his daughter and began to follow her, which infuriated Shiva, who attacked Brahma with his trident. Brahmaji fled in fear of his life. As far as Arka is concerned, there is a reference in the Vamana Purana. There was a demon by the name Vidyunmali who was gifted with a glowing golden airplane which traveled to the back of the sun, and night disappeared because of a glowing effulgence of this plane. Thus the sun god became angry, and with his virulent rays he melted the plane. This enraged Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva then attacked the sun god, who fled away and at last fell down at Kashi, Varanasi, and the place became famous as Lolarka. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langhyate kirim yakipantamam vande shikurum tenatarinam om agyana timirandasya gyananjara shirakaya chakshumiritam yena tasavai shikrave namaha. I'll read the verse again. Ashwatthama, the murderer of the princes, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life, as Brahma fled in fear from Shiva. So Ashwatthama was described in previous verse as Brahmabandhu, and he will also be described in the next purport as Brahmabandhu, friend of a Brahmin. He is not a qualified Brahmin. It is said in the scriptures, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everyone is born a Shudra. Sanskarid Bhaved Dvija. But if you perform sanskaras, you become Dvija, or twice born. Srila Prabhupada in a lecture mentions that the bird is also twice born. First he comes out from the mother, and secondly he breaks out of the eggshell. So similarly, Prabhupada said that we are twice born when we take initiation. First birth is from our mother and father. And second birth is when we break out of the eggshell of ignorance and take initiation from our real eternal father, our spiritual master. And so Veda Pata Bhaved Vipro, if you study the Vedas, if you study the scriptures, you become Vipra, a knowledgeable Brahman. Brahma Jana Titi Brahmana. If you know Brahman, then you are a real qualified Brahman. But unfortunately, Ashwatthama was not a qualified Brahman. He's a representative of the demonic Varnashram, the Varnashram which is contaminated by the idea that you are a Brahman by birth. Gita says, Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha, that is according to your quality and to your work. So his work is, he's not doing the work of a Brahmin, far from it, and he's not even doing the proper work of a Kshatriya, although he's trying to be a Kshatriya. So he's not behaving himself. Bhagavatam says, Tarma swanastita punsam vishakshena katasuya nopadayatiriritim shama eva hi kevalam. Occupational duties a man performs, according to his position, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the Supreme Lord. So at the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma created the Varna, Varnas and Ashramas. From his head came the Brahmanas, from his arms came the Kshatriyas, from his belly came the Vaishyas, and from his legs came the Shudras. So just like our arms depend on our eyes and the brain, so the Kshatriyas depend on the Brahmanas for guidance, for vision. With our eyes we can see, but if someone attacks us, if we're blind, how can we protect ourselves? The Kshatriyas without the Brahmanas, they don't have the vision. And of course we need the legs also. Without the legs, how can we go anywhere? So the Brahmanas are supposed to guide society where to go. Without their guidance, it's like the blind leading the blind, as we see today in our present situation in America, the blind leading the blind. The king is supposed to protect the citizens from danger, and not only protect them from danger, he's supposed to protect them materially and spiritually. Not only that, Prabhupada said the king should give employment also. Everyone should have a duty, something to do, some work to do. When there's unemployment, then there's great problem in the country. Rameshwar one time told me that Prabhupada was telling him that this country will be destroyed by unemployment. When there is too much unemployment, then the country will be destroyed. So the purpose of Varnashram, the purpose of life, is to please Krishna. And Ashwatthama was not fulfilling that purpose at all. Yudhisthira, that's why Krishna wanted Yudhisthira to be the king, because he would have a Krishna-conscious kingdom. And we do see what happened after Yudhisthira became king. Not only the people, not only the citizens were cooperating and loving him, but there is a verse in the first canto, 10th chapter, verse 5, the rivers, the oceans, the hills, the mountains, the forests, the creepers, and the active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king also. And so not only the people were paying taxes, the hills and the rivers and everything was cooperating, because he was a Krishna-conscious king. So we understand that in this universe, everything is a part of the universal form of the Lord. And that means it's meant to be offered to the Lord. Prabhupada said, every creeper, every vegetable has a purpose to fulfill in the universal form of the Lord. And if there is a Krishna-conscious king, then this purpose will be fulfilled. And all the Varnas, they all had their purpose to fulfill. And it was a culture of respect. Here we don't see. We see a dysfunctional Varnashram being performed here by Ashwatthama. Srila Prabhupada explained in one lecture that the Brahmanas used to be called Panditji. Even in India still now they're called Panditji. Unfortunately, they don't all perform the activities of the Panditji. When I was living in Goa in India, I used to drive a moped. And the person who would service my moped was a Brahmin. He had his Brahmin thread, but he was covered head to foot with grease. And they were saying, Panditji, can you service my moped for me? Not exactly what a Panditji is supposed to do. But then he would go and have a bath and do a 12 o'clock arti or some puja or something. Panditji, okay. But Prabhupada taught us differently, that cleanliness is next to godliness. And it's according to our guna and our karma. Prabhupada explained the Kshatriya was addressed as Thakurji. A merchant is addressed as Sesji. And the Shudra was addressed as Chaudhari, or leader. So everyone was respected. And if you wanted to talk to or greet a different person from the different Varnas, you would talk to them in different ways, just like we see in Ramayana. How to greet a Brahmin. Maharaj Dasharath was receiving Vishwamitra, and he said, Ahishtam yattapunarjama jayaya. How are you doing in your endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death? So if you meet a Brahmin, how are you doing in your path of liberation? How's it going? Or we could say, a Vaishnava Brahman, how's your japa? How's your preaching? How's your sankirtan going? For a kshatriya, we see in the 6th canto, 14th chapter, Angira was meeting Chitraketu. And he says, I hope your body, your mind, and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. And he said, a king is always protected by 7 elements, his guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. So, like, how's your defense? How's your treasury going? This is how you greet a kshatriya. If how to greet a Vaishya, Vasudeva greeted Nanda. Please tell me about the welfare of Vrindavan. You have many animals. Are they happy? Are they getting enough grass? How are the people? So this is how you greet a Vaishya. And Shuja, how are you? Because we think we're the body. So, yes. One of my godbrothers, Pradyumna, Prabhupada called him Panditji. He was Panditji because he knew Sanskrit, he knew Bengali, he was helping Prabhupada. And Shudakirti tells that he said, when I was first with Prabhupada, he sometimes rang his bell. And when I entered the room, he would ask, where is Panditji? This is an affectionate term for his Sanskrit editor. After several months, his Sanskrit editor was not always readily available. Prabhupada would then call me to his room and ask, where is Bandit G? So if you get a shooter on top of government, then karma, sense gratification, is the goal. Just like I remember in the 50s, I was a child, and there was somebody running for president, and he had a campaign slogan that if you elect me president, there will be 2 cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot. That was his campaign slogan. If you get a Vaishya at the top of the government, then economic development, money, making money will be the goal. If you get a Kshatriya, then justice, a real Kshatriya, justice, righteousness. If you get a Brahmana, then the spirituality will be there. But all are needed for good social order. If we have the example of King Prithu, how did he instruct his citizens? He said that you should perform your occupational duties and for the welfare of your king after his death. Execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of Varna Ashram and always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your hearts. By doing so, you'll protect your own interest and you'll bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after his death. We heard how the king takes 1/6 of the karma. And so who cares about the king? Who cares about the president? We hear so many things of people complaining nowadays. But when Prithu was the king, they loved him. And otherwise, well, how could he tell them, do it for me? If you love me, then you will do your duties and you'll think of Krishna. And so that was the proper Daiva Varnashram, that they loved each other. There was mutual respect, there was mutual love. So what's the difference between Daiva and Asuric Varnashram? I have a little chart here from a very old Back to Godhead magazine where it has 3 categories of Varnashram. The Daiva Varnashram, the materialistic Varnashram, and spontaneous Varnashram. The spontaneous Varnashram was something that we see nowadays in modern society all over the world, that it's there spontaneously. You see some intellectuals, some kshatriyas, some vaishyas, some shudras, mostly vaishyas and shudras. But the goal of the Daiva Varnashram was to please the Supreme Lord and to allow members to cooperate and help each other to advance. The materialistic Varnashram was to organize an ordinary society, promote social prestige, help people advance to higher planets. And the spontaneous Varnashram was to preserve order and comfort of the higher classes. And the basis of the Daiva Varnashram was character, qualities, training, work. And the Asuric Varnashram, just your parentage. How are you born? So we see that a lot in India today. And the spontaneous Varnashram, what we see around the world, it's your parentage and money. Of course, money is everything. When we first went to India, There was a lot of complaints about the caste brahmanas. This was 1972, in the 70s especially. But some of them appreciated us. One of them said, "You are doing your puja so nicely. In your next birth, you'll be born in a Brahmin family." And so we told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, you tell him, "You're doing your puja so nicely. Next birth, you'll be in ISKCON." So anyway, that was going on. So in the beginning of creation, the four pillars of religion were also given to the four ashramas. We have the ashramas as well. They are also important. Third canto, chapter 12, verse 41, describes education, charity, penance, and truth are the four pillars, four legs of religion, and they correspond to brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So brahmachari life is meant for education. In the canto 1, it's also here in canto 3, it says education, vidya. In canto 1, it is said cleanliness, shocham. So there's two different things for brahmacharis. For the grihasthas, here in canto 3, it says charity. In canto 1, it says mercy. So the grihasthas are meant to show mercy and charity. They're supposed to support the other three ashramas. Then tapasya is for the vanapras, and truth is for the sannyasis. So this is how it was created. And how do you know where you belong? Of course, Gita says, guna karma vibhagashaha. So even in previous ages, it was not so strict. I won't tell the story, but Satyakama, Jambala went to his guru, and his guru asked, "Who's your father?" I guess I will tell the story. And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Ask your mother." Mother said, "I don't know." And he told Gautam, "My mother said she doesn't know who is my father." He said, "Okay, you're a Brahmin, because you tell the truth. Nobody wants people to know. They don't know who is their father." So we have one example in our ISKCON. One of my godbrothers, he was a street boy in India, and he saw a picture of Prabhupada with a beautiful, expensive watch, and he just said, "I want to go steal that watch. I must meet this person." So he joined the ashram. He says, "I have to meet your guru. I really want to meet your guru." And they said, "Well, he's not here. He's in South India." So he traveled to South India. He met Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada took off his watch. "You want this?" He said, No, I've met you. I don't want anything." Like Dhruva Maharaj. He became a devotee. And Prabhupada said, "I want to send you to the West. This is a dream of so many Indians." I mean, not now maybe, but in the 70s it was. America was described as the heavenly planets. So maybe still, I don't know. But so he said, "I want to send you to the West. Get your passport." So he couldn't get his passport. And Prabhupada said, "What's wrong? Why aren't you getting your passport?" He said, "Because I have to fill up the blank, who is my father, and I don't know who is my father." So Prabhupada said, "Show me that passport." And Prabhupada wrote, "A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami." "Your father." So Prabhupada gave us a life. We were out of the Ranasham society. The thing that Prabhupada appreciated is that we accepted when he said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We accepted that. And we accepted. We followed him. We accepted him. We did whatever he said. So even in Lord Chaitanya's time, there were problems. The brahmanas were criticizing. If everybody chants this mantra, Hare Krishna, then the mantra will become contaminated. That's what they said. The shudras, the mulechas, will contaminate the mantra. And so in return, Lord Chaitanya made a shudra, Ramananda Roy, his guru. He was taking questioning from Ramananda Roy. He made Mohammedan, the Acharya for the holy name, Haridas Thakur. So how to understand this? There is a verse in 5th canto, 1st chapter, verse 35. A devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material whips, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. He can conquer the mind and five senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the forecast, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage due to material existence if he utters the holy name even once. So the caste brahmanas, Prabhupada says, they're arguing that unless you change your body, you can't be a Brahmin. So Prabhupada in his purport says that even if you're a chandala, even if you're a dog eater, if you're initiated by a pure devotee into chanting the holy name, your body changes as you follow his instructions. Because when we chant the holy name, our subtle body is changing. We are getting the subtle body of a Brahmin, or more than a Brahmin, a Vaishnava. Although we can't see how the ghost body is changing, or the subtle body is changing, the living entity is freed from material bondage, Prabhupada said. So here in L.A., Shudakirti quotes Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, if we're not for the chanting of Maha Mantra, you boys and girls could not do anything. In the West, you've used so many drugs, you cannot accomplish anything. Chanting Hare Krishna has enabled you to get all these temples and devotees. Simply Krishna's mercy and the chanting. So there's a verse in Prahlad's prayers that if a Brahmin has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he's lower than a devotee who is a dog eater but who has dedicated everything, mind, word, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a brahmana because a devotee can purify his whole family, whereas a so-called brahmana, position of false prestige, cannot purify even himself. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has said that if a pure devotee is born in a family 100 generations before his ancestors and 100 generations after are liberated. So Prabhupada's youngest son just left his body, so we know where he went. And if a Madhyama, middle devotee, is born in a family 14 generations before, 14 generations after are liberated. And if a neophyte devotee is born in a family 3 generations before and 3 generations after are liberated. So even if you're just a neophyte devotee, you're helping your ancestors and your descendants. You're helping your family. Everybody has a family. Even if you're a brahmachari, you have brothers, sisters, mother, father. You have ancestors. You may not have descendants, but the family is there. So we have an example of how this happened with Indraduna Maharaj and his mother. He said, I tried to help my mother, who never showed the slightest interest in spiritual life. When I used to go home, he said, and we used to debate the existence of God, karma, the soul. And one time I asked her, do you believe in God? And she said, there may be something out there. So in order to cultivate that something out there, Maharaj used to send her books. But they would just pile up in the garage, getting dust on them. But he got a phone call one night, late at night, and his mother said, can you take me to Vrindavan? And he was shocked. How does she know about Vrindavan? And why is she, how is this? He said, okay, but he was really tired. I'll call you back in the morning and we'll discuss the details. And so he woke up and he called his mother, and his brother answered the phone and said, can I speak to my mother? And his brother said, she passed away last night. And so he said, really? How is it possible? I just talked to her. He said, yes, I know. She was battling cancer, and she didn't want to tell you. So he said, so Maharaj said, well, what did she say anything before she left? She said, don't lament for me. I'm not this body. I'll never die. I'm going to Krishna. So the Maharaj said, how is this possible? And he said, yes, you know, when she first got cancer, she became very restless. She wanted to contact you. I said, okay, let's contact. She said, no, no, don't bother him. We'll contact him later. Then she went to and got all the books from the garage, dusted them off. And she sat in her rocking chair for the last 5 months reading those books and underlining passages. And she got your tapes, and she was listening to your tapes all day long. And I think there was something in those books that made her fearless. Last night she said she was going to die and she called you. And her last request was that you take her to Vrindavan. So devotees can liberate their parents from the cycle of birth and death, whereas a brahmana who doesn't follow, who is not attracted to Krishna, who doesn't please Krishna, he cannot even liberate himself. So this is what we're seeing here in this pastime with Ashwatthama, that he's a Brahma Bandhu. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. And he's not pleasing Krishna, whereas on the other side here in this verse it says that Krishna is the friend and driver of Arjuna. The friend and chariot driver. I think it was in verse 17. Arjuna is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver. So that is important. We need to always keep ourselves strictly in Krishna consciousness. Don't deviate. As we will hear in the prayers of Brahma, that he prays for protection from deviation. And we should also pray for protection from deviation. And we can follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. In a lecture in 1966 in New York, Prabhupada gave instruction to everyone, just like Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya came, he made a tree of devotion, of bhakti in this universe. And he says, I order all of the branches to take this Krishna consciousness and spread it to others, give it to others. So Prabhupada, in his lecture to who knows who in 1966, who was there? Of course, with some very advanced devotees. But they weren't thinking about having a movement or anything like that. They were just trying to chant Hare Krishna, as far as I understand. There was only one little storefront, Prabhupada said, called it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Only one little storefront there. And this is what he said in the lecture. You must become guru. Lord Chaitanya says nobody is responsible for his birth. His responsibility is to advance in Krishna consciousness. If we want to enter the kingdom of God or be Krishna conscious, there is no impediment. It doesn't depend on any material condition. It's open for everyone. The chance is given. You can become a brahmana, you can become a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and you can become spiritual master of the whole world. So that is Prabhupada's mercy. He's given us these orders. Although we don't have the qualification, he's empowered us to preach and give the highest charity to the whole world. So I'll stop here if we have any questions or comments. It's 8:15. No questions. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.